ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. Yeah, those sitting at the back, please move up so that latecomers can have a path to come in. Yeah, please come again. This boy, yeah. Please come. Yeah, please come up here. What's your name?
Sheffy.
And you're attending the Gitanjali Concept School, is it? And the motto is Shrama Yeva Jayate. What does that mean? Shrama Yeva Jayate. Seems to be pretty unusual Sanskrit for a start. What does it mean? You don't know. This motto of the school is in some kind of Sanskrit is Shrama. Actually, it's Shrama Yeva Jayate. He doesn't know what it means. Well, we'll give a rough try. Shrama means?
Labor.
Labor is a better.
Industry.
Can mean industry. Labor gives the idea more than work. It means hard work. Eva means?
Certainly.
Certainly, yeah, or only. Anjayate? May it be successful. Why do you go to school? You know English? Hindi? Kaun school jaate ho?
Konsa
school. He doesn't even know which school. Okay, go and sit down. You need translation into Telugu? Line by line. I thought these are all IT professionals. Is it? Okay, so for the sum, they can have it translated at the back. Why is he going to school? He doesn't know. If they told him, he might run away. The idea is, at school he has to do shram, hard work. Then he gets a certificate which enables him to do more hard work all his life. Then when he's worn out and can't do any work anymore, then he can retire into some place like this and then die. And what happens after that? They never will teach him, because they don't know either, because they're all fools. Going to school means how to learn how to waste your life. That is the aim and object of all these schools. The people who are running the schools, they don't think like that. They think the school is meant to help people make their life better. Well, it might be better. It might be better to work in IT than to break bricks under the hot sun. Although we see that the people are working in IT, it's not that they are extremely blissful by doing so, and it's not that they're free from anxiety by doing so. It's not that they don't have personal problems. In fact, we find often the people who are more educated and earning more money have more personal problems than the people who are breaking bricks, which is probably a dying profession, if you want to call it a profession, because it's probably all being done by machine nowadays. Yeah, everyone's welcome to, as the sign on the outside door At the entrance, there's a sign, please put your phone in silence mode. I guess that means silent mode. Or switch it off. So, yeah, you're welcome to do so. I heard at the Osho Ashram in Pune, not that we're fans of the Osho at all, but there's a sign saying, at the entrance saying, take, what is it, shoes off and minds off. But you don't have to tell people to turn their mind off because it was never switched on. Brain dead. The schools are for making you brain dead. To activate those parts of the brain which are good for shram, for working hard so that you can earn some money to live more comfortably than people who are breaking bricks. But not to really think about what I should be doing with my life. Real intelligence means to consider that everything in this world, everything that we do, we don't know why we're doing it. We struggle. We go through many difficulties. Then we die. Then what? Actually, children, if they're not sent to school, they usually ask these kind of questions. But then when they go to school, even the proclivity for thinking of such things is systematically drummed out of them. So they just learn how to become an IT professional or whatever. So they can work, earn money, and live somewhat comfortably as they tick, 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 go on their life toward death. And then after that, they don't know. So not to think why we're in this whole situation, that is not a sign of very good intelligence. What we call intelligent is the, what is called intelligence is the ability to do some things which enable us, other people, to do other things so that we can live in a sophisticated society. For instance, we can live in an apartment block with an electric pylon right in the middle of it. Hare Krishna. We lost the power. My criticism of the having electric pylon in the middle was not appreciated, it seems. Hare Krishna. Yeah, so it requires much intelligence to design and build all these things, but it's not so very intelligent to have a big electric pylon right in the middle of a housing complex, because it means that high tension electricity is there, which is, by the way, carcinogenic, if you didn't know. That'll make your life less comfortable here. Carcinogenic means that the high radiation causes the atoms to lose electrons and become ions, and then they oxidize, and anyway, to put it short, you get cancer. You're more likely to get cancer living next to a high-tension electric wire. So, what we call intelligence in the modern age is the ability to do things like surgery, medical surgery, or develop softwares. But it doesn't really go beyond the animal platform, which is analyzed in Shastra, scripture. Mostly people think that religion is some blind faith And for many people, actually for most people, it probably is, but what Krishna taught to Arjuna was not blind faith. He taught him spiritual knowledge. So the quest for spiritual knowledge is the beginning of actual human life. Otherwise, now I'm going to quote from scripture, this is not blind faith, it is an intelligent analysis. Ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha samanam etat pashubhya naranam. Humans and animals both engage in eating, sleeping, fighting, they have the fear propensity, and sex. Now, is that a statement of blind faith? No, it's an analysis. Then, more analysis. Gyanena hi na. Gyanena hi adhiko visesham. Gyanena hi na pashubhya naranam. The ability to understand, to have jnana, to have knowledge, that separates the humans and the animals. So a human, very simple arithmetic here. If A plus B equals C, then C minus B equals A. So if we take B to be human and C to be knowledge, if we take A to be human, B to be animal, and C to be knowledge, then the human without A, A minus C. So the human without knowledge is just an animal, that's all. Now we may say, well, we have a lot of knowledge, but it's the knowledge that we get taught at school is how to work so that we can live by getting food, by getting clothing, by getting shelter, all these things. But that's the same as animals. The animals also have knowledge. The beavers, which we don't have in India, in North America, there are beavers who are very expert dam builders. Birds, they can build a bird's nest. I don't think any human can build a bird's nest. So, although humans are very sophisticated, their so-called knowledge is all directed towards getting food, shelter, clothing, buildings to live in. So what is the difference between a human and an animal? Jnana, real jnana means to understand who we actually are. Why is there suffering in this world? How to get free from it? What is the difference between spirit and matter? This is, to know this is the beginning of human life. That's why Shastric statement is there, adopted by the Republic of India, Satyameva Jayate. But now it's become, what is that? They've perverted the Sanskrit a bit. They've made it Shramaiva Jayate. Hard work, forget the truth. What's reality? Just work hard, develop the nation. This is all animalism, animal consciousness. Work hard and develop the nation. It's just like if you go in some area, there's some dog, he will bark. Don't come here, this is our area. So similarly, we designate different countries. This is India, this is Pakistan, and then fight with each other. It's the same animalistic propensity to think that I am Indian is no more advanced than thinking, the dog is thinking, this is my area, no one should come here, only we are allowed here. Someone is Indian, what does that mean? Their body was born in India, then they will die, then they'll get another body, maybe in Pakistan, then they'll think I'm Pakistani. So it's meaningless to think, ultimately it's meaningless to think that I am India, or I am Pakistani, or I am Hindu, because it's a set of beliefs. But most people are Hindus because they're born in a Hindu family. Most people are Muslims because they're born in a Muslim family. Just we tend to believe what we're taught to believe. That's why the children have to go to school, so they can get well programmed to work to build the nation, so-called. Most people then, they don't like to think. If you, just like an animal, if an animal has food, clothing, shelter, they're content. That's all. So similarly, a human, if he has food, clothing, and shelter, and thinks, oh, now my life is very good. Now I am a success. How much do you have to earn nowadays to be a success? What your mother would call your success should be satisfied. They're never satisfied, but anyway, at least not grossly dissatisfied. What's the minimum with how much does dal cost a kilo now? Tua dal?
80.
It went up a few years ago. So how much do you have to earn so your mother's not grossly dissatisfied, so she can say, my son's a success?
More than the neighbor's son.
More than a laborer's son, yeah, but how much? Let's have some real figures here.
60,000
per month. So if you earn 60,000 per month, you're a success. That means you can successfully and quite comfortably eat, sleep, mate, and defend like an animal. You're a more sophisticated animal. The problems of life are solved. You can eat in the fancy restaurant. You can live in a fancy apartment. You can't pay for it outright. You have to take a loan, right? You're a slave of a loan all your life. But actually the animals, they don't have all these headaches of how to work hard and go to Shrama Mandir, school. They don't have to. The dog wakes up in the morning and just stretches a bit, and barks a bit, runs around, in no anxiety. So it seems the dog is in a better position than the human. The dog simply, anyway, gets some scraps here and there to eat and is more or less content. We don't find the dogs have to go to the psychiatrist to get sorted out. Only mostly the psychiatrists are doing well on IT ex-IT professionals who's couldn't take it anymore. At least that's what I heard in Bangalore. That there are so many psychiatric hospitals for IT professionals and ex-IT professionals who became psychologically unstable, and then they had to go to the psychiatric hospital. So the humans think themselves successful if they can do what in a sophisticated way, what the animals do without any education. So education, by which we can, in a what we consider an advanced way, eat, sleep, mate, and defend, that is not really human life at all. Jnanena hina pashubhya naranam. Without actual knowledge, then we're just like animals. So real knowledge means, yes, here we have Bhagavad Gita. This is not a book of some dogmatic religion, it is a book of knowledge. Arjuna was in the situation of being distressed. Every human comes at some point in their life where they're distressed. Actually, we're all always distressed, but at some point it becomes intense. Now, Arjuna, he was lazy in the sense that He just presumed that, well, my distress is caused by this battle, I don't want to fight it, so better I don't fight it. This is not, as Krishna taught Arjuna, it wasn't a very intelligent conclusion, but Arjuna, he didn't want to think about it very much. So most people, even the so-called intelligent people in the modern age, even though they have so many distresses, they don't want to think about it very much. And whatever seems to be the immediate solution, they accept that's the solution. I'm not very happy, I have some distress. Okay, well, maybe I should change my job and earn some more money. Or maybe I need to go on a holiday to Malaysia or Singapore or something like this. Or I need to go out to some fancy restaurant. We don't think very deeply what is the cause of our distress. We think that if we just make some material adjustment, then everything will be all right. But what Krishna taught Arjuna is that there's no material adjustment which is going to release us from distress. Our distress is caused by ignorance. Now, Arjuna wasn't an ignorant person, just like you are not ignorant people. You're all educated people. So Arjuna, he was also educated. Of course, he was educated in the military academy and he was the best fighter of his generation. But apart from that, he was also well educated in the kind of education that people at that time considered to be education. He was well educated in the principles of dharma. And he told Krishna, Arjuna, the Bhagavad Gita begins with Arjuna protesting to Krishna that on the grounds of dharma, we should not engage in this fight. Now, nowadays people think dharma means Hindu dharma, Christian dharma, Islam dharma, and all these things. But actually, dharma is a very broad term, which means codes of living, how we should live in this world in a proper way. That's one way we can understand the term dharma. So Arjuna said that in this fight, if we engage in this fight, this will not be proper according to dharma, because the families will be destroyed, and then if all the military people of the world are destroyed, then there won't be anyone to protect the citizens, especially the women. I can't fight in this fight because I have to fight. It would necessitate my fighting against my teachers and my elders, which is wrong. So Arjuna just took everything at face value. He didn't go very deep in trying to understand what is the cause of his problem. And Krishna chastised Arjuna for that. Ashochananda sochas twang pragya vadang chabhashase gatasun anugatasun I'm getting my tongue twisted. I was blaming the Sanskrit. Gatasun anugasans cha nanu sochanti pandita. Indirectly, Krishna told Arjuna, you are not a pandit. You're talking like a pandit, but you're not, because one who is actually learned, he doesn't lament for that which must come and go, namely the body. The body has to die, so we should not lament for the body. So similarly, there are many educated and intelligent people in the present day, but our tendency is to be lazy and not apply our intelligence any further than we need to solve our immediate problems, what we perceive as our immediate problems. Arjuna saw as his immediate problem that I have to fight and it doesn't seem proper to fight, therefore I shouldn't fight. So similarly, we apply our intelligence for how to get money, which is the key to comfortably eat, sleep, have sex, and have shelter, and we don't feel any urge to apply our intelligence any more than this. And if some problems arise, then we try to find the easiest way out, the immediate solution, which for many people may be to take some intoxication, or for some people it may be to go to some meditation group in which we learn to calm the mind. But Krishna, he rejected this lazy approach and told Arjuna that you actually have to understand what is the situation. Don't take a lazy approach. Lazy intelligence means just to apply our intelligence only to the level that we need to, no further. But real intelligence should be to see what is our actual need. We think that our need is to get more money or to improve our health, therefore we have to go to the gym, or we have to keep up with the latest fashions. So in this way we apply our intelligence at a superficial level. But Krishna pointed out to Arjuna that the immediate problems that we all have, everyone has problems. There's no one here without any problems, which is maybe why you're coming here. Whatever immediate problems we have, whether it's poor health or children not cooperating, that's a symptom of the modern age, children not doing as well at school as we want them to. For the children, they perceive that as a problem also. All the parents want their children to be number one in the class, which means that only one parent, only one set of parents is satisfied with their children, and all the rest of the parents and children are dissatisfied. So there's a problem. And even the one who comes number one in the class, then he's under intense pressure, ongoing, to maintain that position. So everyone has problems. Legal problems, financial problems. I took a loan and then I lost my job and then. There's so many problems. But these, Krishna told Arjuna, these are all symptomatic of the deeper problems that we have, which are janma mrityu jara vyadhi. We all have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease. Now, we may say, well, that's Hindu teachings, but it's not Hindu teachings. It's a fact. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't say, now Arjuna, I'm going to give you a course in Hinduism. He tells Arjuna, what are the facts of life that we all have to face? However successful we may be, however much money we may earn, however intelligent we may think we are, we all have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease, and we get reborn again and again and again to suffer this. Now generally Hindus think, well, we know that because we're Hindus, but actually no one knows it. If we actually knew it, we would radically alter the way we live our lives, because everyone lives their life, even so-called Hindus, they live their life just for the sake of being so-called successful in this world, without thinking that human life is meant for attaining that knowledge and acting accordingly so that I can get free from birth and death. The real problem is birth and death. I may be so-called successful in this life, although though there's no guarantee, you can get thrown out of your job or your company can collapse tomorrow, or you may get some debilitating disease by which you can't continue in your job. Or there may be so many things. There's no security, that's for sure. You may have a so-called good job, but it's nothing secure. But one thing we can be sure of is that, well, we're not going to go on earning money forever, because we're going to have to get old and die. So it's intelligent not just to think, well, okay, there's a future life, and so I'd better go to the temple and put 100 rupees in the box just in case. I don't really believe in all these things because I'm a sophisticated IT worker, but you never know. So better be safe and go stick 100 rupees in the box every week and say a prayer, and my mother will be satisfied also. So anyway, it only takes 10 minutes a week. And if all that stuff is true, it's a good insurance. But actually, these are facts. The universe is running on, not simply, as some people would say, that there's a blind watchmaker, that everything's just going on without any purpose. There is a purpose. We're all living beings. We all have desires to be happy. We're meant to be happy. But in this material world, we can't be happy, however much we try. Everyone's trying pretty hard, isn't it? Everyone's trying hard to be happy, isn't it? So much shrum. Oh, our boy went off, maybe to do some more shrum. Our boy from the shrum, Shramaiva Jayate institution. Everything we do at every moment is for the sake of being happy, is it not? But if we ask ourselves, are we actually happy? How many people can honestly say, I'm happy? We don't really even know what happiness is. We're so busy working and we live a high-powered life. So this life of working, what is it? Work hard and party harder. That's the motto in Bangalore, I guess over here also. Why should we live such an intense life just to forget that inside we're not at all happy? One devotee of Krishna, a godbrother of mine, who used to live in London, UK, he's passed away now, but he told me he lived in an apartment, and in the next apartment lived a young woman living alone, and every weekend he would see her dressing up with all makeup and fashion and all this, and every Saturday night she would come home with a different boyfriend. That's modern life. So one time he saw her as they both exited their apartment doors at the same time, and he said something to her. Said, so you're living an active life, huh? Said, yeah, I have a lot of friends. Yeah, I have a lot of boyfriends, she said. He looked her in the eye and said, are you happy? She broke down into tears when she was faced with that question, are you happy? Then she just suddenly realized by the incisiveness of his questioning, he knew that she wasn't happy. But she thought she was happy. She works hard, she has a career, she has lots of boyfriends, she goes to lots of parties. Then he looked her in the eye, are you happy? And she was immediately faced with the realization that she's not at all happy. This work hard, party harder, you're pushed to do that so you can work hard. And at the weekend, don't stop, keep on going, because if you stop to think, you'll realize how empty and miserable your life is. So that's why they train. The young students, they come from the villages, small towns in Andhra Pradesh and Tamil Nadu and Karnataka, and they reprogram them. Okay, now you have to booze and you have to go boys and girls, free sex, go to the pubs, have party. They make them get into this way of life, because otherwise, if they stop to think about it, or if they stop at all, they'll realize we're not at all happy. So this modern life is deliberately made Shrama Eva Kevalam. Work hard. Don't think. Whatever intelligence you have, that can be used for writing softwares, but nothing beyond that. And just do what everyone else does. You earn money, you spend it, and then you get an apartment, take a loan, work hard all your life. And then when you're old and your brain is completely worn out, if you get that far, then you just rot in your apartment and watch TV and fiddle around on the internet, and then one day you get a heart attack and then that's it. This is not intelligent living. Intelligence means we should be able to think deeply about who we are, what we are, where we're going, what is the purpose of life. But from the very beginning, the schools, the whole system is made so we never think of such things. So that we just believe whatever we're taught in the school, whatever we believe on the news, on the TV, and we believe that I have to make my life a success by working hard and getting money. And getting money, that's success. That's all. It's a very foolish society in which simply getting some material possessions is considered to be the goal of life. It means to become a sophisticated animal. So, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to jolt Arjuna to the platform of intelligence. Krishna called Arjuna a fool, just to wake him up. Why are you talking in this manner? An actually intelligent person doesn't talk in this manner. An actually intelligent person knows that I am now in this body, but I am not this body. How many of us realize that we're not the body? I have been in this body for about 58 years. But I am not 58 years old. I am eternal. This body will not live probably nothing like another 58 years. Probably 28 years maximum. But I'm not going to die because I'm not the body. I'm in this body. This body is a medium through which the consciousness that is me, that is expressed at the present time. I got this body due to this particular body in this particular situation due to acts that I had performed in previous lives. And future lives will be determined by what I do in this life. Or if one is utilizing one's human life in the best way, then he doesn't have to get born again. This is knowledge. To understand that I am not this body, therefore to simply apply all our intelligence for working, 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 so that we can eat and sleep in a comfortable situation. This is misuse of intelligence. It's become a national and international way of life to misuse our intelligence. Everyone is misusing the human form of life. But India, this land, is especially meant for spiritual realization. That is traditionally the great advantage of being born in India, that in this country there is a culture of understanding that spiritual life is more important than material life. Simply to get money and be rich, that is not very important. To understand that to simply to get money and be rich is not very important, that is important. It's important to understand what is important and what is simply ephemeral. So that is the proper use of human life, and that culture of understanding this is especially strong in India and is especially needed at the present time, because in the name of advancement, material advancement, all over the world, people are suffering more than at any time previously. In the name of material advancement, even the material happiness that people used to have, that little bit of material happiness, people don't have it. People's lives are full of anxiety in the name of material progress. Previously in this country, if someone had a little land, a simple house, and could produce some food, they'd be more or less satisfied. But modern life means that we're never satisfied. Whatever job you have, we always think of jobs. That's the people are trying. You have to have a job. Whereas previously, to be employed was, that means you're a Shudra. But nowadays, people are very proud. I got a good job. That means you're a highly paid Shudra. So people were more or less content. But nowadays, people are, I have to get a better job, advance my career, get a promotion. They're never content. Whatever we have, we always want more, 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 more. Now it's coming more and more, this motor car culture, so that it's not enough simply to have a car that takes you from A to B. You have to have a fancy car which shows that you're earning more money than the average person. So you can be, instead of being stuck in the traffic jam in a Maruti 800, I think they stopped making them, is it now?
Yeah.
It's not prestigious. You see this nano car? Was a flop. Why? Because it's too cheap. It's considered below people. I have to have a car to show that I didn't have a 1 lakh car, I have a 5 lakh car. I think that's probably the minimum now for any car. Now you have BMW. So you can, instead of being stuck in a traffic jam in some cheap little Maruti, you can be stuck in a traffic jam in a Mercedes-Benz car. And look out the window at the person next to you. Huh. This is your advancement, you fool. You highly prestigious fool looks out of the window and thinks, I'm better. So don't be foolish. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna because Arjuna thought, I'm very successful, I'm very intelligent, I have the answer to all my problems. And Krishna told him, you're just talking complete nonsense. You're a complete fool. You don't even know who you are and what the purpose. You don't even know what the purpose of life is. You don't know why you're living your life. You don't know what happens after death. How can you call yourself intelligent? This is not intelligence. This is just living, again, like a sophisticated animal. In some ways, the animals, they're more intelligent. The bees and the ants, they're expert engineers. They don't go to IIT to get an engineering degree, but they're expert engineers in their own capacity. So if we can build some building, we may be very proud that we're expert engineers, but even the ants are expert engineers. So what is our credit? If we don't use the intelligence that we have in this human form of life to understand that, if we don't use our intelligence to understand the actual meaning of life, then we'll get born again as an ant, or a bee, or a chimpanzee, or whatever. How 8,400,000 species of life. By the way, all kinds of science are there in the Vedas also, in Vedic knowledge. Metallurgy, cosmography, all gynecology, everything's there in the Vedic knowledge. But the most important knowledge is to understand that I am an eternal spiritual being. I am meant for actually happy life. I am not meant to struggle in this material world life after life. I am meant for happy living. actually happy. Actual happiness is what? Actual happiness is experienced in love. Love, not the kind of thing that we see in the cinema posters all over this city in between the chicken shops. This city is most prominent. We see chicken shops, wine shops, and sexy posters for cinemas. That seems to be the great advancement of Hyderabad. Telangana Zindabad. So love doesn't mean this excited hormones when a man gets close to a woman. That's not love. Love means completely giving ourselves to the object of love. But no one in this world is worth doing it for. Krishna, apart from being the speaker of Bhagavad Gita, he is the actual object of love for everyone. Krishna is the source of all love. We are all meant for happy life in service to loving service to Krishna. Attempts at love in this world, they simply result in frustration. Because love in this world is a perverted reflection of the pure spiritual love in the spiritual world, where there is no birth or death. There is simply loving exchanges with Krishna. That's called lila. To join with Krishna in his loving exchanges. We are meant to be with Krishna in the spiritual world. We're not meant to be here in this material world. And any attempt to adjust ourselves to this material world, however intelligent it may be, is a misuse of our intelligence. Just like you'll find that there may be some research project. Someone goes off in the Amazon jungle for 15 years and studies the mating patterns of various butterflies in the Amazon jungle. What a waste of time. But that's called the advancement of science. So someone to do that, he must be intelligent, but he's wasting his intelligence in something of not actual importance. Or to give another example, you'll find there are whole books written and people do research on... Yesterday we were talking about the different rock stars in the Western countries, and they're all different books written about them and their lives, and they're just low-class, degraded people. But someone spends their whole life just studying different rock groups and as a subject of study. So this intelligence everyone has in the human form of life, especially, intelligence is more than that of the animals. But it should be utilized for what? First of all, we should ask the right questions. Instead of asking what was the most influential rock group of the 1990s, for instance, what are the mating patterns of a certain kind of butterfly that's soon going to be extinct in the Amazon? Athato brahma jignyasa. The Vedanta, the end of all knowledge, the apex of all knowledge, that exhorts us from the beginning, now we have attained the human form of life, we should inquire into Brahma. What is Brahma? Janmadyasya yataha. That which is the source of everything. Where has everything come from? This we should inquire into. This is the proper use of intelligence. By understanding this, then we become free not only from our immediate anxiety, our immediate frustration, from all our immediate problems, we get free from all problems forever. That is the proper use of intelligence. How to become free from all problems forever and how to be situated in pure bliss eternally. Is that a good proposition? Is that an intelligent proposition? That we should utilize our thought processes for our highest benefit. Shreya Uttamam. This is described in Shastra. Shreya Uttamam. What is our highest benefit? Our highest benefit doesn't come from Shamaiva Jayate, working like an ass. Our actual benefit comes first of all from understanding who we are. We're not the body, so to work for the body is not our ultimate benefit. We are eternal souls. We should act for the benefit of the soul. That is taught in Bhagavad Gita. So, Hare Krishna, there's a brief talk about how we should use our intelligence, orienting our life so that we're in going in the right direction. Of course, many people would say that to take up spiritual life is going in the wrong direction. You should... He was doing well. He was working hard and had a good career, and then he went to this talk by this Swami, and then his life went in the wrong direction. And he started to get interested in all these spiritual things. Well, use your intelligence to try to understand. Almost everyone in the world will say that, yeah, the proper thing to do is work hard and make money. Almost everyone in the world is caught up in birth, death, old age and disease without even thinking about it. And thanks to going to the Shramaiva Jayate school, they think that, yeah, well, this is what we should do. In other words, there is as ignorant as the ass is about the actual purpose of life. Just the ass carries the heavy stones and does shram in that way, and other people do shram by working all day and night in many cases for some company. So they think they're on the right path, but they're sophisticated donkeys, that's all. And if one ass thinks, hey, I don't want to carry these weights around all the day, heavy stones, and tries to get out from the group, all the other donkeys say, what are you doing? Come on, we're carrying all the weights, you should carry all the heavy weights too. Bhagavad Gita gives us the information that we don't have to remain a donkey forever. We can break out of this cycle of birth and death and come to our actual position of happiness. But it requires some boldness also. That is required. Yeah, so does anyone have any question, please, or anything they want to say?
There are people who think that going to a regular job and working for somebody and putting so much of effort is not worthwhile. But they are also thinking that why not start a small business and not put a lot of effort but earn more.
Yeah, someone may think my job is not very good, so I'll start a small business and not do much work and I'll live like that. Okay. But the thing is that everyone else is doing the same kind of business. They're working hard, so they put you out of business. I know many people who have thought like that, and they take a bank loan and start a business, and then they end up worse off than they were because their business collapses, and then they have to pay off the debt. Anyway, that's another attempt to solve the problem of how to live in this world. I'm not an expert on starting small businesses. Another alternative is to cut out of this money-earning society altogether, go to the land, grow food, live simply. What are our necessities? Well, the first necessity is money, right? No. You can't eat rupee bills, even 1,000 rupee bills. Well, I guess you could do, but it's not very, not recommended nourishment. And the necessities for maintaining this body are food, clothing, and shelter. Roti kapra makan. So by the grace of God, all these things can be had easily in practically any part of the world, especially in India. The climate is such that even without working very hard, one can produce enough food from the land. Clothing one can also have from the land. That means cotton, wool, flax, leather. These are all clothing items. It all comes from the land. And shelter. We see in different parts of India that what are the traditional kinds of dwellings. In Bengal, houses hand-built from mud. In Orissa, much of Orissa, there'll be big stones are used. All locally produced. So we can live simply, produce our own food, chant Hare Krishna. We don't have to be locked into this shrama society of simply laboring hard. Bifale shevinu kripana durajana chapala shuka laba lagire. That's described that I'm uselessly working to for the sake of some miserly person who doesn't give a damn about me. What am I doing it for? Just for the sake of some very insignificant so-called happiness. Just think, the person you're working for, do they care about you? No. They want your work. They don't care for you as a person. Now, some companies, they provide swimming pools and medical care and all this thing. But it's not that they actually care for you. They just want to lock you in. That's all. They care about money. Companies, they want profits. That's all. People are just some necessary accoutrements in getting money. And if you can get more money with less people, that's best. Cut the number of workers. Then you'll make more. If you can get the same amount of money with less workers, then you lay off the workers. That's all. That's the way business works. Cruel. So that's one alternative. Cut out of this whole money society. You can live without money. People did so for generations. It's possible. But anyway, that's a secondary consideration. Immediately we should consider, what is the purpose of my life? How to live and act in this world so I don't get born again? That should be our thought. Don't get born again. If we have to get born again, then we have to struggle and suffer and go to school again, go to work again, on and on and on and on. So get out of that.
Swami, please tell me the real happiness.
Real happiness. Well, I did already say so in the lecture, but there's no harm to say so again. Real happiness comes from love. Real love is possible for Krishna. What we call love in this material world is exploitation. Love in this world means male is trying to exploit the female and female is trying to exploit the male. But pure love is without any exploitory motive. Neither Krishna needs to exploit us because he's fully satisfied, and nor is there any possibility of us exploiting Krishna. So there's no exploitation in the love between Krishna and his devotees. It's simply a pure exchange. That's all. Nor will Krishna even let anyone come into a relationship with him if he has any motive to exploit Krishna. So that is real happiness. And some people try to do that in this world. They try to do good for others. For instance, by feeding the poor. But although feeding the poor is better than starving them, it doesn't fully satisfy the self because it's on a false basis that I can help others, whereas actually only Krishna can help us. And if we feed the poor, again they'll be hungry. So real happiness comes from love, and real love is in relationship to Krishna. Yeah. Now that you are in human birth, yeah.
And we will of course die and then cease to exist.
Then we'll die and cease to exist. No, the body ceases to exist, but you won't cease to exist because you're an eternal living being. You're not simply that bunch of chemicals called a body, human body. But wait a minute, the premise is that we cease to exist, but I question, or rather I don't accept that premise. So if you're going to ask a question on the basis of that premise, then don't ask it.
Okay, let me modify the premise. Premise is we will cease to exist as the way we are, not a spirit will exist.
We won't be in the present configuration that we are. We'll be in another configuration of eating, sleeping, mating and defending and suffering. So it's not that much difference. That's all. Instead of being in the ignorance of thinking, I am this body, we'll be in another body and we'll be in the ignorance of identifying with that body. Unless we become Krishna conscious and go to the spiritual world. Then we get a spiritual body.
While there is no awareness, not even an iota of that thought that we have had a different body in past.
Is there no awareness? Because that we were in a previous body and a previous life. Well, some people have that, mostly we don't have it, because we've come to this world to indulge in the illusion of being an enjoyer of this world. And if we are aware that we are suffering life after life, then we can't be enthusiastic about being an illusion. So, because we want to enjoy this world, which is not actually possible, but we want to be in that illusion, so Krishna makes that arrangement. We want to forget Krishna. We want to think, I am the enjoyer of this body. So Krishna arranges, he gives us the illusion. That's an illusion. So Krishna gives us the illusion that we want. We cannot enjoy this body, but we want to. So Krishna gives us the illusory worldview by which we can do so. And Krishna also comes and teaches us in Bhagavad Gita so that we can understand what the actual fact is.
What do we do in that form of body to get human birth?
What do we do in the cat body or a dog body to get a human birth? We just stay there in that body and then we die. And then gradually we'll get to the human birth. Nothing we can do. In lower form of life, one is simply living out one's karmic reactions. That's all. Now you're in a human birth. Don't think about what I'll do when I become a cat. Don't become a cat. Act so that you don't get born again. That's more intelligent. Instead of thinking, well, next life I'm going to become a cat. Don't plan for it.
Swamiji, yesterday Mahatma Gandhi asked me to be
Murakosmi. Sanskrit am najanami. What language is he speaking?
English.
English, I thought he spoke. I couldn't work it out.
So, he said that I started fasting to search about myself. So, how fasting can support a search about ourselves?
Can anyone understand?
Mahatma Gandhi, he said that I started fasting to search about myself. How fasting helps in searching?
Mahatma Gandhi said, I started fasting to find myself. How can fasting help? Ask Mahatma Gandhi. I didn't say that. I didn't say it, so just because he said it, is it authoritative? So many people say so many things. It doesn't mean that it's correct. Shastra means knowledge from the higher platform. Shastra says, Atato Brahma Jignasa. One should inquire into the nature of ultimate reality. Whether one does so by fasting or not fasting, that is secondary. In Gita, Krishna says, what is that? Natashnatastu yogosti nachaikantam anashnataha. That eating too much and eating too little, they are both detrimental to the practice of yoga. Yoga here doesn't mean exercises, it means that discipline by which one comes to realize the ultimate reality. So the idea that by fasting one can understand the ultimate reality is a mistake. So on that issue, it seems that Mahatma Gandhi got it wrong. He called his autobiography Experiments with Truth. So that experiment didn't seem to be a successful one.
I missed actually the most of the lecture and anything you have already said it. Can you tell us some simple takeaways after this session? Which we can adopt in our daily life.
Simple thing which we can adopt in our daily life.
Which
will bring us to God, which will bring us to bhakti. All right, well, actually, I didn't speak much about that, about the practical. But first of all, I spoke about, practically what I was speaking was about the need to do so. Because unless we're convinced of the need to do so, then we're not going to do it. Or even if we take up the practices without understanding why we're doing it, then either we won't sustain the practice or we'll do it in the wrong consciousness and we won't get the actual result. So first of all, we need to understand why we should do what we should do. Again, I did speak in the talk about how we're quite lazy and we don't use our intelligence to go deeper and try to understand things as they are. So if we just want the process, but we don't want to understand exactly why, then we won't maintain the process. And that's why so many so-called swamis are able to cheat people with some so-called process which will help them, which doesn't really help them because they don't explain to the people about what the actual purpose of life is and what is the cause of all our suffering. And they just say, well, you come to me and then you sit like this and you go, Om, and give me 5,000 rupees for telling you that. And then everything will be all right. And people are happy to be cheated in this way. So there is a process. We should chant the holy names of Krishna regularly, chanting the Maha Mantra. We should give up sinful activities, such as meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. But to understand that something is sinful, then we have to understand what is right and wrong, and why is something right and wrong, what makes something right and what makes something wrong. There has to be a philosophical background. So yes, we can teach you the process, but you should understand why. Otherwise you won't maintain it. You want a quick fix. There are many quick fix swamis. You can go to their seminars, but their quick fix is not the solution. It was just the, which I spoke about repeatedly, that we're always looking for a quick fix, but we have to understand the very basis of who we are, why we're in this world, why are we suffering. Then we can start to think how to get free from suffering eternally. Simply to make some temporary solution that won't free us from birth and death. Anyway, you can chant Hare Krishna. That's the essence of it all. But try to understand also. Practical guidebook is there, this beginner's guide to Krishna consciousness. Yeah, you want to introduce the books? Take that as a cue to introduce the books. Okay, but I have to go past water anyway, so you can introduce the books. We also don't say that you should just sit and meditate all day. As long as we're in this world, we have to adjust ourselves to it to some extent. We have to eat, we have to sleep. When we have calls of nature, we have to honor them, which I'm going to go and do right now. I have to pass urine, so without further delay, I'll do so. Hare Krishna.